Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, cue the funeral dirge. Cue the funeral dirge music, because, yes, in fact, this is my last live broadcast.
What?
But only for the remainder of 2017.
Oh.
So some people were like, praise the Lord, God still answers prayers. Miracles still happen.
There was a mix of disappointment and joy
that went out at the same time. Thanks for that. Not only did Pastor Chris Connell, I'm here at Raleigh First Assembly in Raleigh, North Carolina, one of the best churches in town, one of the best churches in North Carolina.
Yeah, I just want to say we are probably the best in the world.
I like how you hesitated a little bit.
That's
your humility.
We are probably the most humble church you've ever met.
Clearly.
We're number one in humility.
Absolutely. I was not surprised to see that you guys actually invested in that banner to put over the sanctuary doors. Number one in humility.
Voted number one in humility.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're assuming that Call to Action Radio is going to be really serious and intense and theologically sound today, I don't know that we're going to be delivering on that. This is Steve Noble. I'm here with my dear friend, Pastor Chris Connell, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And you always want to give a shout out
to
your pastor.
Harvey, my lead pastor, Pastor Chad. He's on the radio himself. And
now, do you do that because he signed your check?
Yeah, but I also do it because I do it because before I even met him, and heard him speak and even knew anything about being on staff here at RFA.
Yes.
I said, that guy should be on the radio.
Yes.
And I just believe in his calling on the radio. And so anytime I have a chance to promote him, I think he's worth it. And anyway, yeah, but shout out to Pastor Chad.
Yeah, he's just an incredible pastor, very gifted. And just besides the fact that he signed your check, I mean, that's whatever. God's going to provide for you whether Pastor Chad signs your check or not.
After this broadcast. Right.
Well, you know, we'll take him out to lunch. We'll deal with him. But anyway, it's great to be here, and Pastor Chris is going to be filling in for me a couple days next week, and I'm on a plane tomorrow morning with my family. We're flying up to Chicago where the average temperature, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 9 days of some Christmas bliss will be, on an average daily basis, 26 degrees.
Oh, you're going to have a great time.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. So, but this is Christmas for me this year is really all about family, and we've got our oldest son Hayden, who's down in Orlando now with his full-time career. He's flying into Chicago on Saturday. So the six North Carolina Nobles will be there. My sister lives there. My brother lives there. Of course, my wife's entire family is there, her brother and sister and her dad. So we're really looking forward to Christmas just from a family perspective. And for you, Chris, I wanted to talk about this. And, of course, yes, they passed the tax reform bill today, and that's going to start in January. And I may or may not talk about that. It's not going to change between now and I get back on the air. But how long have you been a pastor now?
At RFA, 15 years. I've been in the ministry full-time for 23.
All right. So you know, I think most of us struggle with the Christmas season to really try to stay on track.
Yeah.
We know the reason for the season and all those little lines we like to throw out there. But for a pastor, it's a working holiday. It's a working season.
True, true.
But which one's more difficult for you guys? Is it Christmas or is it Easter?
I think that Easter is a bigger challenge in the logistics of what's happening in the services and in our efforts to honor Christ and the story of Easter and the hope that it brings. And I think that that message at Easter, I think that the message of Christmas tends to be a little more palatable to the world. And
yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I think Easter. I think Easter's
the birth
challenge.
Of the baby is a little bit easier than the bloody execution of the Savior.
I think that people, you know, they like the baby Jesus. You know,
right,
they
even Will Ferrell does.
Yeah, not a great movie, but you're right. You're like the whole Talladega Nights thing of just, you know, I want to image Jesus as a baby.
I didn't mean to cause you to stumble.
No, it's fine. But, you know, I would say in general that I think at Christmas it tends to be a bigger challenge as pastors in our personal lives to try to carve out those moments for their family. And my wife and I did really bad in our family planning and had all three of our kids around the Christmas season.
Oh, did you really?
I'll send you the link to the GoFundMe site for you and the listeners.
We have one out of four. Caroline's birthday is December 27th. But when are yours?
Olivia's is December 27th.
Oh, she is. That's awesome.
She turned 16, and then Ethan just turned 14.
So we were conceiving at roughly the same time.
Yeah, great. That's wow. You know, I think – I'm done. My career's over.
You and I
have a lot
pressure.
Of things in common. That was not one I wanted to have in common.
Yes,
but
well,
anyway,
that's all right.
So I would say Christmas in that sense that, and I feel like as a pastor for people, not so much at Easter, I think Christmas for so many tends to be more a reminder of what they don't have.
Wow.
And I, that's not true for a lot of people, but there is a decent amount of folks that
I think it's true for more people than we would
I think at Christmas we tend to get forced into time around maybe family that isn't always the best experience for us for various reasons. And I think that there's a reason why depression and suicide and all these things tend to go up during the holiday season. And I think that that's one of those things is as pastors, as leaders, as followers of Christ that we just have to be really aware of. And minister to people, and so I see that ministering to people, in a sense, is a bigger challenge at Christmas. I think in Easter, it's just more an issue of making sure you're doing well at one of the big times people come to church.
Yeah, and then is it hard for you? Oh, we were talking about this before we went on the air, and oftentimes with the Christmas season, I struggle to extract or keep my mind on quote unquote the reason for the season and to talk about the incarnation. I did a Theology Thursday a couple weeks ago with Danny Aiken, of course, the president of Southeastern. We did the whole show on the incarnation and what does that mean and looking at it in the Old Testament and, of course, the fulfillment in the New Testament. But do you struggle as a pastor to kind of keep your focus where I think God would have us keep it when it comes to celebrating the birth of our Savior?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that hopefully by God's grace, we do well within our official service times to communicate that. And I think as a church, we're like a lot of churches, we're trying to drive our people towards giving opportunities, not necessarily towards us, although, you know, we're pastors, we'll take your money, but towards outreaches, we're big fans of, you know, the Raleigh Dream Center, things like that we're trying to invest in. So I think that's important, but I think keeping that focus on Christ and what it's all about is a problem. But I also am thankful for this. I'm thankful that Christmas is one of the easiest evangelistic times. It's an easy invite.
It is an easy invite. It's an easy conversation because just about everybody in America is celebrating Christmas in one way or another, but very few of them actually know what we're celebrating. They actually don't know the gospel. So what a great time to take advantage of that. We'll talk about that with Pastor Chris. This is Steve Noble. It is Called Action Radio. We'll be right back after this.
You know, there's a reason why still out of the was away.
We're live. So.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We didn't realize we were live.
We're
a good time.
We're just jabber-jawing as just all over the place talking about Christmas and all kinds of stuff. This is Steve Noble. It is Called Action Radio. Merry Christmas to you and yours, of course. And I'm here with Pastor Chris Connell, RFA Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Pastor Chris, you would know him because he's guest hosted for me numerous times over the years. And my friend Vince Neal, who you know.
Yes, I know Vince.
He just said, I heard Chris's sermons the last two mornings on the radio.
Oh.
Did you know that?
Okay.
So they pulled Chad Harvey. And they replaced Chad Harvey's messages with Pastor Chris Connell.
I definitely don't have a job anymore. Pastor Chad, if you are listening.
He tunes into his own radio program.
Pastor Chad, if you are listening.
And he hears underling preaching.
I had nothing to do with that.
I think it sounds like a hostile takeover to me, actually.
And for those who were listening and were fairly disappointed by the content of the message on those times, please listen and say, Pastor Chris's sermons do not represent the opinions of staff and management of RFA Church.
That's pretty funny.
I'm literally turning red here. I'm embarrassed
that
happened.
I'm loving every second of it. It's a beautiful thing. Thanks, friends, for setting that up for us. I appreciate
that. Yes, and Truth Broadcasting, if you're listening, please don't do that anymore. I'd like to stay employed. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, your 15 minutes of fame is not as valuable as your
regular
paycheck.
I'd like to be able to pay my mortgage and keep food on the table.
We were talking about Christmas, and really from a pastor's perspective, is this – I just want to ask this question. Who ever ministers to a pastor? Uh-huh. Who ministers to you guys?
Yeah.
Like, who loves on you? Who asks you how you're doing? Who who has real conversations with you outside of the, because, you know, most of the time, and listen, I'm not a pastor, I'm a priest by theological admission, but most people in my life don't ask me beyond surface level questions because I'm a high energy up people.
Yes. Steve must be great because he's happy and talking.
And you hear him on the radio, and boy, he's all over it. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Right.
But who ministers to you guys? I mean, what's the deal with that?
You know, I have found the longer I've been in ministry, I have found it, and maybe it's life and busyness, it gets harder and harder to have true friends. And what I mean by that is it's not that I don't have friends. Maybe I actually don't. But I think it comes down to the fact that you start to learn the longer in ministry to be, and maybe it's a bad thing, to be more and more careful about your honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you got to be guarded, unfortunately.
And more and more careful about that. The people that minister to me the most are other, in our context, other pastors on staff who ask me hard questions, and hopefully vice versa.
Yeah.
And sometimes hard questions aren't always accountability. Sometimes they're a difficult situation where you or my family are
dealing
with.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing, and this might sound a little odd, there are individuals in the body of Christ, even here at RFA, and I think that they almost have a Barnabas spirit. And what I mean by that is they will come to you as their pastor, and sometimes even, you know, people who aren't from your church will do this, but and they'll look at you, and they'll say something like, and I'm surprised how much this means, but I'm telling you, for those who go to a church, this will mean more to your pastor than you can imagine. They look me in the eye and they say, Pastor Chris, just want you to know, I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I care about you, and I just want to say you're a blessing to me.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that people shouldn't give harsh criticism to us, because we need to hear criticism.
Of course.
We need to change
and grow,
and those are blessings too. There's a woman in our church named Rosa DeMoss. And Rosa comes out of Germany, has a thick German accent. Every pastor in this church will say that in a difficult season, Rosa will walk up, point her finger right in your face and say, I don't know what's going on with you right now. Sorry, Rosa, if you're listening, that's my impersonation of your voice. But she'll say, God's had you on my heart, and I've been praying for you, and he's going to bring you through it. I don't need to know what it is. Mm. And I'm telling you.
That's powerful.
That knowledge that God is listening and understands what we're going through and has expressed it to somebody else, and they don't need to know the details.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can love on a pastor and not shove yourself into the details of their life, they'll open up more in the long run. But those individuals have ministered to me more through years than anybody else.
Yeah, and how often do you hear that? And again, like we're talking about RFA church exposed. You guys have a great church. You have a great body here, a great pastoral staff. I love RFA. I've been around with you guys for 11 years.
I feel blessed
now
to be here.
And but is that uncommon to have people come up to you?
Yes.
just like that?
Yeah, I think
even at a great church like RFA.
I should say that it is common for people to love on you. So I think RFA might be a little bit of an exception in that I feel like over the last 15 years, we've just become just a healthier and healthier and healthier church.
Yeah.
But it is the exception that, and this is true of all situations where you have people in leadership, it is the exception where somebody doesn't want something out of you. And it's okay to want something out of a pastor. They're going to meet me.
Sure,
so I'm not offended by
that.
Yeah,
we all have.
But I think there is something really special, and maybe it's a gift of intercession. Maybe God just gives it to certain people where they just have an uncommon appreciation for a pastor.
Yeah.
And it might be akin, might not be, to people who really honor people who are in the military. And when they see them out at a restaurant, they're like, I'm going to pay for your meal.
Right, yeah.
There's something about individuals that I feel like they're almost like Barnabases to pastors. And they just love on them and they encourage them. I remember Pastor Chad said years ago there was a guy named Tom White. And, you know, we were going through some tough stuff. And church was blessed. Life was good. But there was some tough stuff. And Tom called him up, said, I want to meet with you. And Pastor Chad just said, man, great. Somebody else upset at me about something, and he just looked at Pastor and said, I want you to know you're doing a great job, and I love you. And he said, I'll never forget that moment.
Wow.
You know, there was a woman in our church. God, I started choking up.
I think maybe a lot of times, Chris, Pastor Chris,
yeah,
us out in the pew assume that you're hearing that, and we assume people are encouraging you. And unfortunately, a lot of us, I think, are there to take, to receive, to be fed,
yeah,
and we don't We don't make that a two-way street.
Yeah, and I think most pastors are blessed to have congregation do that. You know, the greatest thing somebody ever did for me, as a, one of the greatest things I should say, is a lady named Beulah Roche. Roche came to the hospital. My dad was having open heart surgery. God, I choke up every time. Sat next to my mom for 9 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't like to talk when I'm stressed. So her husband, who doesn't talk, sat next to me. We said nothing. She sat with my mom for 9 hours that day. And it was there. And I will tell you, as a pastor, that was one of the greatest gifts somebody's ever given.
And that was her sitting with your mom.
Yep.
And they didn't go to the same church?
No, they knew. They come to our church, and nobody asked her to be there. I don't even know how she found out.
She just shows up.
She shows up, sat next to my mom, and my mom likes to chat. So my mom chatted for 9 hours.
Wow.
And she stood there from all day. And I'll never forget that. And I will tell you, it was one of the greatest gifts. And so sometimes what people need to know more than anything, even pastors, is there's somebody in your corner.
Yeah, yeah. That's just the ministry of proximity.
Yeah.
Just be there.
Yeah.
Just be there. Yeah. Should we get our pastors something for Christmas?
Man, you know, I have to tell you this. We are so blessed. RFA does all it can do to bless pastors, but they still bless us. We often they give us something extra at Christmas. I would say that if the Lord puts something on your heart, bless your pastor.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll be well received.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to talk about some more Christmas stuff, some news of the day. And by the way, did you know that Santa Claus, Pastor Chris, Santa Claus, did you know he's married?
To Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, well, according to CNN in a new book out there, he's actually married to Mr. Claus.
Oh,
Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Mr. and Mr. Claus. One is black and one is white, which I don't have a problem with, but Mr. and Mrs. Claus, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Steve, I always say you have the best intro outro music of any Christian radio host.
That's because you're right. It's true. You just picked up on it. I mean, and welcome back to Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble, and I'm here with Pastor Chris Connell, who's a dear friend of mine. And Pastor Chris is going to fill in a couple times next week. This will be my last live broadcast of the year.
Be prepared to be disappointed in advance.
Yes, just so lower your bar and everything will be fine. This is what happens. See, Chris and I get together.
Yeah, we're not good for each other.
And we're trying to be like serious kingdom guys, but we end up being like a couple of fourth graders on the playground goofing around and cracking jokes and stuff, which is fine. But we were talking about this and Heather on Facebook Live. And by the way, if you want to join us on Facebook Live, that's facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's just the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. You'll see we're at RFA's studios, Raleigh First Assembly here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where Pastor Chris is on staff, and Chad Harvey's the senior pastor and an excellent one at that.
Amen.
And we were talking about, kind of your favorite gifts or things, the memories from the past. But we were talking earlier on a break and the Christmas thing, that the war on Christmas, if you haven't noticed, this has died down.
It has.
It's not as much of a big deal. And we're going to talk about this stupid thing on CNN just recently where they have they gave 4 minutes, by the way, CNN, a storybook, a gay Santa storybook for kids featuring Santa's husband. And Santa, in this case, is black, which ultimately, you shouldn't even go near that.
No.
Because what are you going to say about a black Santa? Except that Santa Claus, the original St. Nicholas, was definitely white. He was a Norwegian kind of guy.
Yep.
And this isn't the argument about I think Jesus Christ himself looked a lot more like Osama bin Laden than he did like either one of us.
True.
So the fact that they have a black Santa, which is probably all political correctness, and then they have a white Mr. Santa along with them. So you have two Santa Clauses, and they're married, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the war on Christmas, which is not nearly as pronounced as it used to be, which is interesting. It's kind of quietly gone way off the radar screen. You just don't hear much about it anymore.
I think we're so bowled over by the momentum of the culture moving away from Christ that, you know, I think it's just hard, you know. You don't hear anything about the Target situation.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything about Starbucks. You don't hear, you know, I just think people, the bandwidth for it, I guess, isn't there anymore.
And you know what I have to say to that? Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, I used to go, I mean, you know this. I mean, 2004, 2005, We did all kinds of Christmas
stuff.
Yeah,
I had a sticker.
Oh, man. I was on the CBS Evening News talking about Christmas and walking through downtown Raleigh where there weren't, because we put up the nativity scene and all this other stuff. But you know what? That the danger of that is people are dying and going to hell all around us. And I'm not losing any sleep over that. But I'm going to war over whether some unbeliever at some retail store says Merry Christmas.
I think that was
or
the
not.
Conviction I had in my own heart, was because I was like, well, yeah, you're not saying Merry Christmas, but really, is the issue really the gospel, that they don't know Christ?
Yeah.
And beyond that, if they don't know Christ, why would I expect them to understand my passion for that? And then now we're arguing over a season in which, in fact, we're pretty confident Christ wasn't born in December anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we're fighting about that. But, you know, and then I'm like, you know, I care more about that than I do about maybe telling that same person, hey, do you have anywhere to go eat for Christmas? Why don't you come to our church?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, man. But I don't like the fact that our culture is moving further away from the gospel.
No, of course not.
Any more than anybody else does.
Of course not.
But I think we're getting angry at the wrong thing.
We're stomping on ants when the elephants are coming over the wall.
Now, I do think the retail industry is also being dishonest in that they make their living off of,
right,
off
of course.
Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you hear. They really make
their biggest
living.
Sales season of the year is all based on this Jew from the Middle East.
So my long-running, you know, joke is, well, then fine. Have everybody who sells something say, are you buying this for a Christmas gift? And when they say yes, then you say, I'm sorry. We don't allow that because we are only a Happy Holidays event. If you're doing this for Christmas, we cannot accept your money. You can't buy it from here.
Because, yeah, good. Perfect.
That's ridiculous. Right, but right, I do think that it does matter if people hear the gospel. I don't think it really matters whether a store is saying Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas.
No, absolutely not. And people, when I hear Happy Holidays, I just don't react anymore
the
way I used to. But I think that, and I actually think the devil and his legions do not like us getting over the war on Christmas stuff. As long as we're turning to kingdom building activities and trying to get some retailer to say Merry Christmas does not advance the kingdom of God.
It seems to be a distraction in some ways.
Yeah, I think it's a total distraction.
And for clarity's sake, I don't like it any more than anybody else does.
Sure.
It's not that's, you know, and if I was in the industry and I had my sway, I'd tell them, you're saying Merry Christmas.
But I'll tell you what, you know what happens almost all the time is I was in the bank earlier today, and there was a gal at the bank, and I'll tell you, it's a BB&T branch bank here in Raleigh, North Carolina. She was telling every single customer, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Now, usually I'll say it first, and then you'll get the person behind the counter will say, oh, thank you, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, they kind of have a permission to say it back to you if you say it first, you know. I love the hope that Christmas brings. I love the fact that even now you're walking through secular places and there's music playing, and some of it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but some of it is actually got this message.
Santa baby.
Right. You know,
like that.
You know, they're having this incredible, you know, gospel being played over, you know, that not really the gospel fully, but they're having this, you know, this story about Christ being played in music, you know.
Do you think it, do you think it grieves the heart of God that you've got 92% of Americans celebrating Christmas in one way or another, but only probably about 15% of Americans, from all the study I've done in the last 12 years, are really born again? You've got all these people running around utilizing what we celebrate as the birth of Jesus to have a merry old time in December, but it's really still a nation of dead people mostly. Do you think that breaks his heart? Do you think that ticks him off? How do you think the Lord reacts to what we've done with this focus on his son?
You know, the Lord throughout Scripture seems to be grieved when his people stray, and he also seems to be grieved, particularly when you see the new administration he works through the blood of Christ in the New Testament. He seems to be grieved over those who've never heard and don't know, and that goes right back into the Old Testament as well, you know. And I think the Lord is grieved. I think he's grieved that it's got to go from the manger to the cross, and that we have a culture that's so close and yet so far when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I think it's also amazing that Jesus gets around the way he does, and that we're still talking about the birth of someone 2,000 plus years ago.
But hey, people that saw his miracles and heard him speak and teach and saw what he did, even people right around him in his own hometown, even they rejected him.
Yeah.
So this isn't anything new.
Yeah. I think it's a shame that we sometimes make a mockery of it, you know, not that maybe, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But I do think it grieves the heart of God, because I think the point of Christmas was not that we could feel warm and fuzzy. I think the point of Christmas is that there was a dilemma, right? And that dilemma was you and I, you know, Steve, and in our wives and our family and our friends that were away, and that that manger, as you've said, was a step on the road to the cross. And so that's how I feel. I also think that as churches we should really try to take advantage as best we can of Christmas.
Definitely.
You know,
it's a no-brainer. Going back to what you said, you know, there's such a high percentage, and I just looked at another study that said 70% of Americans will attend a Christmas Eve service. But only 100 million Americans even regularly go. So you have this major increase in church attendance. And where do they go? Do they go to the local church? There's another stat I saw within the last 12 or 16 months that said 80% of respondents said if a friend invited them to church, they would go with them. I just think it's we of little faith that if I ask somebody to go to church with me, they're just going to blow me off, or it's going to be awkward. I'm going to put them in a weird position. I actually think we'd be shocked at how most people would respond to that.
I think for the most part, and I'm talking about myself here, I think for the most part, the American church were a bunch of wimps. And I do mean that.
I'm just totally with you, dude.
And I think we've gotten so upset about the culture war and what's happening in politics and the rules and the laws and everything else and gay marriage and all this stuff. And then we go,
gay Santa.
And it's crazy.
Sorry.
You know, and I think, man, we really need to what does it take to look at a waiter, a waitress, or a coworker and say, hey, do you have anywhere to go for Christmas Eve, for services, or whatever your church might do? Well, would you come join me? You know, there might be a rare occasion somebody gets upset at you. Most people are honored by the opportunity. And you're probably going to get a no, but you're never going to get a yes unless you ask.
Well, God might intervene there. And again, we sit there and go, well, if it goes well, well, now we call that a divine appointment.
Right.
Right?
Right.
When we're obedient, we call that a divine appointment. But I always ask the question, if we're indeed priests, if we've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb, and we're out there representing Him, we're ambassadors of the gospel, as the scripture tells us, shouldn't every interaction we have with another human being be divine on some level?
It should be. And, you know, here's the thing, too. The angels appear to shepherds, and they say, hey, come see this incredible thing that has happened. I mean, it's so incredible that whatever dimension heaven is, it opens up in front of these shepherds. And isn't Christmas still the church going to people and saying, hey, come see this.
Yeah.
You've got to see what God's done.
Yeah, and that might be that one person that you ask now and Sunday whose life has absolutely fallen apart, and they're looking for hope.
There's nothing more Christmas-y, nothing more than inviting people.
Inviting people to come back to the story and to come hear why we're celebrating this thing that we celebrate on December 25th. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Chris Connell. We'll be back and wrap it up right after this. You know, usually I like my bump-in music here on Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Chris Connell. But when Christmas is just around the corner and then the Foo Fighters comes on, that might be a little oil and water there.
They did a great medley on some show.
They did a Christmas medley?
Yes, they did.
Well, Dave Grohl is pretty talented dude.
Yeah, and they actually played the jazz music from Vince Guaraldi's music that he made for Charlie Brown.
Oh, no, really?
And it was actually really good. It was on SNL. You should check it out.
Oh, that's so cool. I will check that out. That's funny. But I digress, because I'm hanging out with Pastor Chris Connell. So we tend to be totally spasmodic with our conversations, and they go all over the place. But I'm hanging out at RFA Church. Pastor Chris is going to fill in for me a couple times next week. I'm taking off in the morning for Chicago with my darling wife and our kids to go up. We have a lot of family up there, so we're going to spend Christmas up there where it's going to be a stupid cold. And actually, my sister Catherine's on Facebook Live, and when I put earlier their average temperature for the next week is going to be 26, she said, actually, it's going to be lower than that. Like, great. That's awesome. Max high, 20 next week. Overnight lows in the single digits, so I'm really not excited about that. Leaving North Carolina and heading up there, but anyway, Christmas this year, and I struggled with this. I wanted to finish talking about. I think a lot of us, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean I struggle. I'm a pretty mature Christian. My wife and I both got saved. Gina and I got saved within weeks of one another back in 1994. Married in 1992, saved in 1994. Moved to Raleigh, North Carolina in 97. Been on the radio since 2007. And Christmas is sometimes I'm just not feeling it. Sometimes I'm just – it's a busy month. You got to buy and pay for presents. You got this, you got that going on. You got family, you got all these things. And I sometimes I struggle to really find a deeper meaning in Christmas, that it just becomes a – I have a much easier time with Easter because there's not all the stuff around Easter. But with Christmas, there's all this stuff. And I struggle sometimes. And this year, because we're spending so much time just with our families over the next week and a half, I'm super excited about that. And it seems much more meaningful that way as our kids get older, and our oldest son now moves to Orlando, and our older daughter is moved out of the house now. And so you just start losing that cohesiveness. But I wonder if I'm not alone in that, Pastor Chris. I think sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, I don't think you are at all. And you know, my wife and I mentioned earlier, you know, we have all three kids at Christmas time, so we were really good with our parental planning there, but our kids planning. But I think there's a bit of a gauntlet that we run through, and I think that my wife and I have at times put ourselves under financial pressure, you know, to meet a certain expectation.
Yep.
And I don't think that's honoring of the Lord in any way. And so, I think of that way at all. And I think many times, I think we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, I think for so many people, Christmas ends up being a reminder of what they don't have.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, and because it's about family, it's about relationship, it's about all these things. And I think in the end.
And then we're going to get the Facebook highlight reel.
Yeah.
That makes everybody's Christmas except yours look like it's right out of a movie.
If you want to see a good Facebook, you should go to my sister-in-law's. My brother and him live in Italy, and every day she's got like 50 photos of, we're in Florence! His photos.
I'm like, I am not.
And I'm like, I'm so happy for you. So anyway, I think you're not the only one, Steve. I think that the holidays are what our culture has done with Christmas is ridiculous. We've done the same thing with weddings. Americans just do everything on the extreme. Weddings, $20,000 the average American wedding.
That's cheap.
I'm thankful for Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving, thankfully, is so close to Christmas, it can't be commercialized very well.
That's a good point.
Because it tends to be a meal and family. And so I do think that our culture has just wrapped ourselves in this thing, and sometimes in a way that isn't always healthy, and it should be a lot more simple.
Yeah. Well, there I mentioned to you Jason Powell, who's on staff out with Pastor Greg Laurie and Harvest Christian Fellowship out in Southern California, was on a couple days ago, and he did this great piece called the A to Z's of celebrating or sharing Christ at Christmas. And his A was ask a leading question. I love this as we prepare for, most of us will have a big Christmas supper coming up. We'll be in Chicago. We'll be with a mixed crowd. We don't know who actually knows the Lord and who doesn't. And he's that asking a leading question. I love this to do at the table. I love this idea of asking that question. What's the greatest gift you've ever received?
That's a great question.
Because when it comes back to you, you need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. And say, well, let me just tell you, absolutely, it's the fact that I'm born again follower of Jesus Christ, and that gift of forgiveness, by far, is the best gift I've ever received. That's a really simple thing. And then another thing he mentioned that also will occur for pretty much all of us on Monday at some point in the day or the afternoon or the evening is, hey, you know, like in around my family, usually because I'm the Christian wacko guy, and this will probably happen in Chicago, I'm usually the one that's asked to pray.
Right.
And when you pray the gospel into your prayer.
That's a great point.
Now, don't go 7 minutes.
Right.
Like, you know.
And have just as a yen playing on your iPhone.
Right. Right. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But to get the gospel into your prayer, I think these are opportunities that
can
help us turn Christmas away from ourselves and back to him and back to the gospel.
I'm also very proud of our culture at Christmas, and this may seem as an American, because I think that there's a wonderful givingness to our country and having the privilege of traveling to not a lot of places, but enough places.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, and I love the fact that there's a lot of charity that goes on at Christmas. I think it's honoring, and I'm not agreeing with all charities and what they do either.
Right, of course.
But I do love that. But I think that wonderful opportunity to just talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, it's there.
Yeah. It's a natural, and I think as a church, I can't emphasize enough, if you have special Christmas services,
excuse me,
man, just walk across to the cubicle to your coworker.
Ask one person.
That's it.
Because that's one more brick that will come out of the wall of hesitancy.
Yeah.
and nervousness and shyness
yep.
and really lack of courage. Yep. One more brick will come out of that wall.
I'm a pastor, and I got a guy that I know through really a business relationship. And the Lord, I just felt like I saw him on LinkedIn, and I felt like the Lord just said, hey, invite him. And so I'm a pastor. I'm online. I'm a little nervous. As crazy as it sounds, a little nervous. Like, this is stupid. Hey, do you have anywhere to be for Christmas? If you don't, my wife would love to have you come be our guest.
Yeah.
Hope you have a great Christmas. Love, Chris. Whatever. Hey, man, thanks for the invite. My wife and I will think about it. Now, I don't know if he'll attend or not.
Yeah.
But I thought that moment, honestly, felt more like Christmas to
me man.
Than anything I have done this
That's
season.
Powerful.
And it wasn't much.
Yeah.
It wasn't much. But that moment felt more like Christmas.
It didn't appear to be much, but Jesus Christ himself said, I did not come to be served,
yeah,
but to serve and give my life as a ransom for
yeah.
many. So anytime that we are putting somebody else first and trying to love them because we value them because we know they're made in God's image and
yeah.
have inestimable worth,
yeah.
I think that's one of the sweetest gifts we can give our Savior.
Yeah,
it's just to actually take action to show concern and love for another human being.
Yeah.
Because it's so rare. That, I mean, that's a question that all of us, would you disrupt your dinner coming up on Monday, December 25th, Christmas dinner with the family in the way it's always been? Would you bring a near stranger or a stranger or a neighbor or a coworker? Would you get them to your Christmas table?
Mm.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
Or would you go, no, you know what? Maybe another time. Because that's just our family.
You know, look for lonely people.
Oh, man.
And not to take advantage of it, but look for lonely people and just invite them into your home. And my parents are really great at this, and they always have. And my in-laws, same way. They always got people that don't have a place to be. You know, the greatest gift, Steve, that we've ever received is Jesus. And everybody, I think, when they're born, that gift is sitting under the tree of their life.
Yeah.
Wrapped. I'm ready for them to receive it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's up to individuals to be willing to open that gift and receive it. And there's a cost to following Christ,
sure.
a cost to receiving that gift. But that is the greatest gift ever given. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that has gone through a tough situation, and she said one time, you know, thankfulness creates contentment in all circumstances.
Wow.
Even if you got nothing, I always think, Lord, just help me to be grateful and thankful, but also there's nothing more Christmassy than looking at people that are friends and family
yeah.
and say, you're welcome in my life.
How about
you're
that?
Welcome in my church. You're welcome in my home. And there's a gift waiting under the tree of your life that if you'd open it, it changed your life.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, for Gina and I, my wife and I, when we got saved back in 94, you know, she grew up Catholic. I grew up Protestant. And we just never heard the gospel. So it's like all of a sudden, once we heard the gospel, and the hound of heaven was on us for about, I don't know, 9 to 12 months at the most. But once we heard it, it was like, hey, you know, we went, for me personally, I was 28. I went, so take the first 5 years out of my life. So 22 years, I went. Not knowing that there was a gift, speaking in terms of your metaphor that you were just saying, not knowing that there was a specific gift under the tree that could transform not only my present situation, but my future situation and my eternity that had my name on it. I didn't know it was there. I didn't know that it required that there was a gift for me, that it required me to actually get the gift, unwrap it, and receive it myself. I just assume, because this is the American church, that it was the gospel, what I call the axe murderer's gospel. Well, I'm not one, so I'm going to heaven. There's people that are way worse than me. And most Americans think that's how you get to heaven. Just don't be an absolute horrid person, and you'll get in because the scales are going to tip in your favor. But once we knew, we're like, holy cow, really? We didn't know the gospel. And then all of a sudden we know the greatest gift ever is sitting under the tree. It's got our name on it, but we have to receive it, and most people don't know that. That's the message that we should share.
And the beauty of where our culture is most people don't know the gospel.
Yeah.
And they're less jaded about it.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful opportunity.
That's right. Well, Pastor Chris, Merry Christmas to you
Merry
and
Christmas
Amy
Steve.
And your kids. Thanks, bud. And have some fun with the show next week. I'll be back on Tuesday, January 2nd, live in the studio, God willing. But to you guys out there and my friends on Facebook, I'm going to drop off of Facebook now for the next 10 days as well. Thank you, Jesus. Have a great Merry Christmas. Let's make the most of it. Let's reach out to the lonely and the broken. let's open our homes. Let's invite somebody that maybe for the first time we'll invite somebody to church for this Sunday services. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Chris Connell. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.